Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear beloved in Christ, today we learn the role of prayer and preaching in your life. How you are connected to God through hearing His word preached to you, and you connect to Him in prayer. God is not far away from you, but as close as the word you're hearing right now and the prayers that you pray. In our text today in Galilee, as the explanation of the context here, as Jesus leaves the synagogue and enters the house of Simon and Andrew, the first thing we need to note before we talk about prayer and preaching is why Jesus did miracles. Jesus did miracles to show that God is undoing the curse of sin and death in the world. He is giving us a glimpse of what heaven will be like, where all things will be made new. The blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the lame will walk. He is the second Adam. He is the Son of God who comes in all power. He's making it clear to all the people. He is God in human flesh, who does miracles and casts out the demons. Jesus is with four of his closest apostles, Simon and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, in the city of Capernaum. And we know Simon Peter was married because he had a mother-in-law. They are in the house, at the door, in the evening at sundown, the whole city is gathered at the door, because they want to be healed and hear Jesus. You can still visit Capernaum today and stand there on the steps of the synagogue, which they have excavated, and then a short distance away, they found Peter's house, which is now octagon-shaped because it was an early Christian church, and then a short way from there is the shore of the Lake of Galilee where the fishing boats still pull up. There at that place in Capernaum, Jesus demonstrated his power in his miracles. Simon's mother-in-law had a fever, and as soon as he took her hand and lifted her up, the fever left and she began to serve them. The fever was gone. People were sick. They had diseases. People were oppressed with demons. He healed them. He cast out the demons. And the reason he would not let the demons speak is even though the demons knew that Jesus was the Holy One of God, he did not want the word to be preached by these foul creatures from hell. And so he silenced them. He will be the preacher of the gospel. His apostles will be the preacher of the gospel, not the devils. So now in Jesus' ministry, in the life of the Christian, our life is characterized by both prayer and preaching. The simple things in life, many of you have probably discovered like me, are the most profound. The simple reality is this. When you come to church, the Heavenly Father who gave his words to Jesus, who said the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all Jesus said to the apostles, who wrote it in the New Testament that you heard read today to your ears, and now is being preached to you. You have a direct connection to God the Father through these words of Jesus that you're hearing now. And then the reverse is true when you pray. You pray in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus, your intercessor, directly to God the Father. By word and preaching, he speaks to you. And by prayer, you speak to him. The vast majority of the problems in your life are when you get disconnected from God's word and preaching and forget to pray. If you will do that each and every day, read God's word, bring your prayers to him, he will help you handle anything that the world throws at you. But if you forget the word of God and you forget to pray, you are a sitting duck for the devil to drive you to despair and hopelessness. So that is why you are here this morning, to hear the preaching of Jesus through my voice, and to pray to the Lord in your voice. So let's consider the prayer, the praying of Jesus, the preaching of Jesus, and then prayer and preaching in the church today. We consider first the praying of Jesus. Jesus rose very early in the morning when it was still dark, departed and went out to a desolate place where he prayed. Everywhere Jesus went, people pressed on him. He needed quiet time. He needed time alone with the Father to pray, to get away from the crush of the burdens of this life. He was out there probably for many hours praying to the Father for us, his people. But even there he couldn't escape. Simon and the others are searching for him all night and morning, and they find him, and they don't seem to be concerned that they've interrupted Jesus in his prayers. They simply say, "Everyone is looking for you." And thus, the pressure of life again is upon our Lord. Why was Jesus praying? If you know your New Testament, he prayed in the house, he prayed in the synagogue, he prayed outside, he prayed out in the fields, he prayed up in the top of mountains, he prayed day and night. Who was he praying for? Us. Jesus doesn't need for us to be concerned about all of his needs. He came because he's concerned about our needs. He is the Son of God in eternity, but he is also the Son of Mary. When the Bible says Jesus is your mediator and your intercessor before the Heavenly Father, what that means is this. He gave his body, broken on the cross, crowned with thorns, pierced inside and hands and feet, as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In his death, death has been defeated. In his resurrection, we have life, justification. He is our high priest, and the high priest comes in to offer the sacrifice, and the high priest is also the sacrifice. The shepherd is also the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. The high priest comes into the Holy of Holies in heaven and upon the cross offers his own body and blood as a substitute in our place. He is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Each and every day he is praying for you and me, just like he prayed for the people then. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what your needs are. So pray to the Lord Jesus. Bring all your needs to him, and he will hear your prayer and intercede before the Heavenly Father. This is not fantasy. This is truth and reality. That's the praying of Jesus. What about the preaching of Jesus? He said to the apostles, "Let us now go to the next towns, that I may preach there also." They went all through Galilee, which is up north by the Sea of Galilee, "that I may preach. For that is why I came out," that is, as the Messiah. He went into synagogues to preach. He cast out the demons. He proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven was now here in himself, the king. Do you see that even the miracles bring our attention to his preaching? The real power is in the preaching. God answers our prayers and heals us according to his will, but sometimes we don't get well, and eventually we all die. This doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't hear our prayers. He does. The miracles give us a glimpse of what heaven will be like, but we're not there yet. The main focus of Jesus' ministry was preaching. He preached in the house. He preached in the synagogue. Once he preached out in a boat, out in the fields, in the temple, on the streets, in the mountains. People called him prophet, teacher, and rabbi, and that's what he is. And when it says he preached the gospel, in theology we talk about the gospel in the narrow sense and the gospel in the broad sense. The gospel in the narrow sense is specifically what Jesus did for us, whereas the law is what we are commanded to do. But in the broader sense, the preaching of the gospel includes both law and gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent of all of your sins and have faith in Christ, your righteousness. That is why even before sermons in the divine service, we all confess our sins, we hear absolution, we're assured of our forgiveness, because Jesus is our righteousness and our justification. The preaching of Jesus astounded people, because as you've heard the last 2 weeks in the gospel lessons, the crowd said he preaches with one who has authority, not like the scribes. Jesus said it, and that's the way it is, because he is the Son of God in human flesh. The praying of Jesus, the preaching of Jesus, is what the New Testament is all about. Well, where does that leave you and me? What about prayer and preaching in the church now, today? First, we look at prayer. The reason we pray is because what Isaiah said in the Old Testament lesson today. The Lord sits above the circle of the earth and the heavens. He is the Holy One. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He has all understanding, strong power, Isaiah said, great might. You pray and you wait for the Lord to renew your strength, to mount up on wings as of eagles. This is the Lord to whom we pray. When you pray, you are praying through Jesus to the Holy One of God. In the Introit, in the Psalms, in the prayers of the day, in the Lord's Prayer, you are praying to the Holy One of God. When you take your portals of prayer and you read your prayers, you are praying to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And he hears, and he will answer your prayer according to his will. Be fervent in prayer. Never give up. Pray every day. Pray without ceasing. Pray at all times. And put all of your life into the hands of your Heavenly Father. That's prayer. What about preaching? Well, preaching has been here for a long time. Preaching of the gospel that Paul explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is that we preach the gospel. You don't come here to hear about the latest novel I read. I don't come here to entertain you with funny stories. You don't come here to hear some worldly poetry and philosophy. The unique role of the church is to preach the gospel, which means good news. Paul said he is a servant to the Jews and the Gentiles, preaching the law and the gospel of Christ to save some, become all things to all people. We mourn with those who mourn. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We become weak for those who are weak. We are strong with those who are strong. We become all things to all people to save them through the preaching of the gospel. And you know, the Christian life is running a race. You run a race to win the prize. If you're not going to try to win the race, why do you even run the race? You discipline your body and soul through self-control. This is the true piety of the Christian life, to run the Christian race. Now, you know, when you run a race, you're not going to get anything if you fall down and if you give up. If you have to do 4 laps around the track and you fall down at the first lap, you haven't even finished the race. You can't expect to win anything at all. You can't fall down in the first lap of your life. I don't care if you're 7 years old, if you're 77 years old. You must run the right race of the Christian life to the day you die. Never stop running this race, because you have the imperishable wreath, qualified to receive the reward of eternal life. The Olympics are about to come on here in about a week or two, and people will do the ski races and all the various events in the Winter Olympics, and they want to win a prize, an Olympic medal. We are running the race to receive the prize of eternal life, an imperishable wreath that does not pass away. So, dear friends, rejoice that through the word and sacrament and the divine service, you enter into the presence of God, our Father, who speaks to you, the preaching of his Son, and to whom you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And through this gospel, you are blessed and you are saved. Think of all the pastors that God has brought into your life since you were a child who preached the gospel to you, and thank the Lord for faithful pastors who proclaim the gospel. Think of all the people who've been praying for you all of your life. You too bring others to come here to hear the gospel preached. You too pray for others, have a prayer list, and pray for people each and every day, rejoicing that in our Lord Jesus Christ, prayer and preaching was the stuff of his ministry. Prayer and preaching is the very substance of our Christian life. May that be a reality in your life and my life, to the glory of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.